The radio program Son of Cliché has been taken over. A strange force compels us to hand over our broadcasting time to the Weird Dimension.
Welcome to the Weird Dimension. For the next half hour, we have total control over your radio set. We can reduce the volume until it's almost a whisper. We can increase the volume until the noise is almost unbearable. We can adjust the balance so my voice only comes out of the left-hand speaker. Oh, we can adjust the balance so my voice is only... Your right-hand speaker isn't working. We can do all these things to your radio set and more. We can even turn it off. Or we can turn it back on again. We can do anything. We can make you happy. We can make you melancholy. We can make you suffer. Nothing is beyond our power. We can even change wavelength.
Excuse me? Is this the butcher's?
Yes.
Can I have a sheep's brain, please?
Sounds like you've already got one.
BBC Two on Sunday. Monday on BBC One sees the return of the Chinese detective. This program will be repeated 30 minutes later when you feel like seeing it again.
We can do anything we choose here in the Weird Dimension. We can make you hear this. We can stop it. We can play it backwards. Or we can leave it alone.
Son of Cliché, written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, starring Christopher Barry, Nick Maloney, Nick Wilton. Music by Pete Brewer.
Table for two, please.
This way, gentlemen.
The movie is going to be marvelous, Romulus. It really is. The scriptwriter's already showed me the first draft, and he's really captured it.
Excellent.
Drink, sir?
I'll have a G&T, please.
And a bucket of water for me, please.
A bucket of water, sir?
Yes, yes. With ice.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, Richard, you were saying?
The movie's going to examine the whole implications of being brought up by wolves. From the time you were snatched from your cot by the she-wolf...
Mummy.
Yeah?
Yep.
All the way through growing up... Becoming leader of the pack and eventually coming back to civilization. It's dynamic stuff.
It doesn't make me out to be weird, does it?
No, of course it doesn't.
Oh. Your bucket of water, sir.
Thank you.
Are you ready to order now?
I'll have a lamb.
Oh, fine, yes, I'll have a lamb too.
So that's for two.
The lamb, is it dead?
Yes, it is, oh. Yes. But if you're worried about it, I'll give it another bash to make sure.
No, that's half the fun with the lamb, chasing them, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Have you got anything else on the menu that will give me a bit of a chase?
Not really. Oh. The only thing we've got that moves are the fish. Not really much of a spot.
Damn. Well, I'll just have a small helping of marrowbone jelly then, please.
Yes. Thank you.
Romulus, you're going to make so much money from this film, you're not going to believe it.
I'm sorry, can you just excuse me for a second?
Have you dropped something?
No. Can you just move your legs over, please?
Are you okay?
Yes, I won't be long.
I still feel you've got a little way to come in your re-socialization.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Is there something wrong?
No. My friend's just crouching under the table for a little while.
I see. Are you all right? Can I get you something?
Yes, actually. Could you get me some soil and some dead leaves?
Thank you.
radio set is in the control of the weird dimension. We control your thoughts. We control your imagination. We can take you into the past. We control your thoughts. We control your imagination. We can take you into the past. We can even make time stand still. Stand still. Stand still. Stand still. We can bore your pants off. We can even take you into the future. Do you want to see the future? Your future? Mrs. G.S. of Hounslow doesn't. But then, she hasn't got a future. Not after her husband arrives back unexpectedly from his business trip. In 3 minutes. Pity she's listening to radio too. But what of your future? What will happen to you?
It's April 1989, and the nation flocks to the polling booths for the general election. Popularity polls reveal Margaret Thatcher to be the most unpopular prime minister since she was last the most unpopular prime minister. Undeterred, she fights her fine campaign, reminding the nation of how the Tories reduced unemployment to zero at a stroke by declaring unemployment a job. This and her promise to... and her promise to retain her 1986 Burning the Poor Bill are seen as liberal compromises to seduce the popular vote. The main threat to the Conservatives comes from the Ecology Party. In 1985, they forced the government to legalize cannabis, but that caused unrest in the summer of the same year as pot-crazed crowds looted supermarkets and sweet shops in nationwide munchie riots. However, the Ecology Party declare they can alleviate this problem with their campaign promise to scrap bank holidays and replace them with national giggling days. But not everyone's got election fever, as Princess Di gives birth to Prince Norman, her ninth child. And people realize why it is Prince Charles has got big teeth and large floppy ears. The media, in Hollywood, a magazine poll names Joan Collins the most glamorous 45-year-old. Joan has won the award 11 years on the run. Sotheby's, a lock of real hair from Paul Daniels' head fetches £80,000. And the fossilized remains of Ronald Reagan are re-elected to serve a third term as President of the United States. Meanwhile, in the British election, the votes are cast, and the Tories romp home on a landslide again. This time, their majority is so big, not only do they form the new government, they have to form the shadow cabinet as well. Victorious, Maggie promises a return to the glory years of the 50s, but it's not until after she reintroduces feudalism, salt tithes, and the Black Death that everyone realizes she meant the 1350s.
Sorry, have you got an appointment?
No, not as such, but I reckon I can lay something on you that is a bit tasty.
We're not interested in unsolicited songs. We only publish commissioned material. Thank you, good morning.
Now, hold on. I'm not a songwriter. No, I'm a medium.
A what?
I'm in contact with the spirit world. And this geezer, right, name of Ludwig van Beethoven, right, through me, he's written from the other side his latest opus.
What is this notation?
Yeah.
Dee-dum, 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 dee-dum. Da.
Yeah, well, I'm not too clever at writing the music down, but I know the tune. It's in my head, you see. I've got it in my head. Here you go, look. You need a much fuller sound than I can handle on this, but it will give you an idea, right? A one, a two, a three. Yeah. Hello.
Oh, yeah. And that's his Florentine Sonata, is it?
That's it, yeah. Hey, he's done it again, hasn't he? Lovely piece. The Banjo Sonata, as it will be nicknamed.
Oh, he wants it on a banjo.
Oh, yeah. He was very insistent about the banjos. 140 banjos he wants. 140 banjos and an alpen horn. But he says if you can't get an alpen horn, he says just put in another banjo.
Well, sounds a bit like Skip to My Lou, My Darling.
Yeah, it does to me. Well, it does to me. But can you tell him? Can you tell him? No, he's deaf. But that's not the only one I've got. Oh, no. He's not the only stiff who works through me. Schubert got the end to his unfinished. Yeah, want to hear that? Schubert's unfinished? Right, it ends like this. Nah.
That's also on a banjo, is it?
No, accordion, that one. Yeah, you don't think so? Well, I've got plenty more stiffs working for me, all the top stiffies. Charles Dickens' latest novel, The Ed Salesco Murders. Ed sat in his office. It was really bleeding hot outside.
No,
all right. Franz Kafka. The Franz Kafka bumper book of jokes.
No.
All right. Now, you love this. Shakespeare, right? A couple of newies from him. What about this one, then? Malcolm, Prince of Finland. You don't have to. Fine.
And don't bother coming back.
But I'm sorry about that, Lud. Now, we just have to go back to the old combo. You write them, I'll say they're mine, and we'll sell them to James Galway. Cosmos.
The Earth. The sea, the sky. Everything around us is part of a greater entity we call the cosmos. But what do we know about the cosmos? The answer is relatively little. We know it is vast. We know certain physical laws apply. We also know it's an anagram of spooks. But let's look at the broader aspect of time. Perhaps it would be useful to consider the whole time scale of creation as an evening at a cocktail party. The simplest single-cell life forms arrived at the party at around 6:30. They sat around self-consciously in the lounge, offered to help by putting out the cheesy watchets, and finally left around 7:15 without even having a drink. The dinosaurs turned up shortly after the bars had closed, extremely drunk and boisterous. They hogged the record player, putting status quo albums on, over and over again, and were finally thrown out at 12:30 for having a sword fight with a French bread. Finally, man arrived at 3:25 a.m. All that was left was half a bottle of Cinzano and a wedge of Edam cheese with cigarette dimp stuck in it. Everyone was lying around in sleeping bags, except for the carnivores, who were upstairs mopping something up in the bathroom. A ridiculous and absurd metaphor, perhaps, that the universe comprises many ridiculous and absurd things, not the least of which is me. Good night.
I'm Dirk Brogan. I'm a firefighter for an international oil corporation. I'm head of macho patrol, and I handpick each and every one of my assistants. I look for guys who can keep their heads under pressure, who stay cool, and think fast. Because a moment's panic from any one of us could cost us all our lives.
Hi, Dirk.
My God, what's that? What the hell are you doing creeping up on behind me like that? For God's sake, I almost jumped through the roof.
Hi, the name's Tom Cragg. I'm Dirk's second in command. And any time we're in a tight fix, here's a guy I know I can rely on. Is that a spider?
Where?
There, by your foot.
Kill it, Tom, kill it.
I'm not killing it, you kill it.
Yeah, look at its legs, it's disgusting.
Oh, God, shoot it. You've got a gun?
I can't, Tom. My hand is shaking.
Hi, guys.
Oh, God. It jumped out of my skin.
Hey, Jim, what are you doing sneaking around us like that?
I've just cut my finger, Dirk, on a nasty piece of paper. I wonder, could you suck it for me?
Jim, go for help, Jim. There's a spider in here.
A yucky spider?
Yeah. Yucky.
Yeah.
Go for help.
But my finger is pearly, Tom. I need Dirk to suck it better.
Jim, don't you understand? I can't help you. The spider is blocking the way.
What the hell are we going to do?
Don't cry, Tom.
I'm not crying, Dirk. It's just sweat from my eyes running down my cheek.
Dirk, Jim, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to die?
Tom, look, the spider.
It's crawling out the window.
Quick, close it.
Well, that just about wraps up another case.
What about me, Dirk? Am I going to pull through?
Sure you will, Jim. Sure you will. You'll have to wear a little pink plaster for a while, but that cut will heal up in a week or two. And you'll be back with us in no time. There's always going to be a place for you in Macho Patrol.
Well, Tom, I always said you were cut out for this job.
Hallelujah.
welcome to the final of Superbrain. 2,000 men and women, all acknowledged as geniuses in their fields, have been reduced to a final three. Professor Joseph Isink, author of the book, The Catastrophe Theory as a Model for Political Systems. Nobel Prize winner, Dr. Anne Sticklewood, a research chemist in macrobiology. And Professor Robert Burgess, who wrote the paper, The Existential Phenomenological Foundations for a Science of Persons. Thank you. And over there to my right, the three finalists are standing in the soundproof glass cubicle, waiting for the computer to select the name of the first contestant. And the computer has indicated our first contestant is Professor Isink. His name is flashing in the cubicle now as he makes his way towards the door. And remember, the first prize tonight is a £50,000 research grant. Professor Isink, having a spot of trouble opening the door. In a minute, he'll be taking the Super Brain hot seat and hoping to win this rather magnificent Super Brain trophy. Still having a bit of trouble with that door. But it can't be long now before he notices the pull sign. And he'll soon be with us answering questions on Kant, Weber, and polynomial expressions. Ah, the Nobel Prize winner, Dr. Sticklewood, is having a word in his ear. And I can see now Professor Burgess closely scrutinizing the doorknob. Professor Isink has started booting the glass while the conceptual psychologist throws his full weight against the door hinges. As Dr. Sticklewood, the Nobel Prize-winning biochemist with an estimated IQ of 240, presses her face against the glass and screams to be released. And in so doing, get this super brain final underway. Still having no luck. And Jenny, my lovely assistant, is wiggling over to the cubicle. And she opens the door. And that means the winner of tonight's Super Brain Trophy is the former Miss Prestat in wet T-shirt, Jenny Longfair.
The thing man is most afraid of is death. The termination of his earthly existence. And yet, throughout his history, he has continued to do it.
Mr. Cross.
Yes, Doctor?
Mr. Cross, it's about your wife.
Sarah, can I see her?
Mr. Cross, there comes a time on the operating table when a surgeon has to make a decision.
Sarah, she's all right, isn't she?
And sometimes things can happen which are outside our control.
What are you saying? Where's Sarah? Where's Sarah?
Mr. Cross, I'm afraid she's dead.
Pardon?
Your wife is dead.
My wife is what?
I'm afraid she's dead.
Afraid she's dead?
No, she's passed her arm.
She's got a mask on.
She's dead.
What?
D-E-A-D, dead.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. The music's too loud.
Well, turn your radio off, then.
Oh, sorry, Doctor. What were you saying about my wife?
She's a bleeding stiffy.
Well, you could have broken it a bit more gently.
In the weird dimension, anything can happen.
And now, a special edition of the Master Game, the quarterfinals of the Celebrity Chess Tournament. Tonight between Ronnie Corbett and Kelly Monteith. The game is already in progress, with Corbett to move.
Now, my queen's in danger. I must watch his knight, because as my producer said, he said... No, I'm not funny. As my producer said, he said, whatever you do, he said, try and concentrate on the game, he said, because people will be able to hear you thinking, he said. For goodness sake, he said, try, and avoid saying the same thing again and again and again and again. Anyway, I've gone right off the topic. I've got to move my queen, so I will. Queen to knight four. He's moved. I don't believe it. He's darn well moved. Incredible. See, I thought he was never going to move. Have you ever moved apartments? No, neither have I. I live in a restaurant. Well, you'd think so. The number of routines I do about restaurants. It's incredible. Does your voice ever do that, huh?
You're going along, speaking normally, and then your voice suddenly gets squeaky as it reaches the end of a sentence? It's incredible. I better move. Queen to knight seven. Checkmate.
For heaven's sake, checkmate. For goodness sake. For goodness sake, for goodness sake, for heaven's sake. That's it. Checkmate for me.
And it's checkmate for me.
Checkmate.
Overpriced record offer. Available exclusively through mail order.
At last, you have a chance to buy 20 golden Indian restaurant tracks. All your favorite Indian restaurant tunes brought together on one fabulous album. Who can forget? Or the more up-tempo. Or, if you're feeling blue, perhaps you'd prefer something for every mood, even the haunting. And to help you recapture the oriental magic of your local tandoori curry house, we're giving away free with every album 14 pints of lager and a bucket.
We of the weird dimension bring you a glimpse into another time-space continuum. The strange planet you shouldn't really land on.
This is Stellar Trader Dave Hollins calling Earthcom number K-57. My craft, Scion 4, is locked in a decaying orbit around a Class 2 planet. The main drives have gone and there is no power left in the Starhopper. I'm at a planet that has 2 suns and 7 moons. My AA number is Hull 71482. A bioscan prelim has indicated living matter on the planet's surface. It is intelligent, but basic. Just above vegetable, but just below teacher training student. I'm abandoning Scion and tubing down to the surface.
Zills, the occupant of the craft is about to arrive in input 2.
What be he like?
Zilz, several of his legs are missing, and there are many holes in his face. I must scurry and greet him. I bid thee solstice, traveler. You must have hunger and weariness. Come, I bid thee dine with me and my 7 husbands.
Husbands? You have 7 husbands?
You seem querulous. How many husbands do you have?
I don't have any husbands.
Oh, a nephron.
Is that how you reproduce here, with a husband?
7 husbands.
Oh.
8 of us must get together to perform a negor to produce the children.
That's incredible. What's it like?
Oh, a lot of fun.
How many children do you produce at one of these negors?
Oh, enough for 2 or 3 meals. Excuse me, I'm going to explode. I beg your pardon. It must have been something I strangled. Where be you from, traveler?
Me? I'm from Earth.
Earth?
Yep.
The planet Earth?
That's right.
Do you know a guy called Jan Vogels?
No.
Come on, he came from Earth. Jan Vogel.
No, I don't know him.
You must know him. Jan, short guy with red hair.
No, I told you, I don't know him.
He came from Holland on Earth in the 8th century, Earth time.
No, it's the wrong period, and I've never been to Holland.
Jan Vogels. He had holes in his face. He put food in. And when we told him what it was, the food would come out again. Jan Vogels.
No, I don't know him.
Jan Vogels.
I know him. Jan Vogels, that's right. Now, can we go to your city now? I need some fuel for my craft.
Of course. Oh, but what must you think of my manners? We haven't passed greetings. Come, we must decapitate each other and exchange heads for an hour. Funny. That's what happened to Jan Vogel.
Son of Cliche, starring Chris Barry, Nick Maloney. Nick Wilton, the show was written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor. Music was by Peter Brewis and the Son of Cliche Big Band Sound. It was produced by Alan Nixon. Good night. See you next time round.
Well, at this point, we were to have handed over to the Radio 4 continuity announcer, but unfortunately, due to unforeseen difficulties, they're not able to be with us at the moment. In the meantime, I'll try and keep things ticking over until they've got their bad tummy problem sorted out. It does seem a shame, rather, that the whole of Radio 4 should grind to a halt just because one individual decided to try a Bangalore foul last night. Ah, oh, good, here they come. No, they're... Turn back again. Well, look, I'm going to go after them. I'm just going to... This microphone has got a long enough lead, I think, so I'm just going to go up the corridor. Okay? Right, here we go. Up the corridor. And the doors... Ah, here it is. Yeah, I'll just... Hello, excuse me. Are you in there? Yeah, right. Look, I've got the microphone with me. I brought it out the thing. You have to... there's no way we can pad it out any longer. So you have to try and do it from in there, okay? Look, I'm putting it under the door.